Great song. Great song. And I really enjoyed what you all had to say this morning. I really liked both parts of your presentation. Now, I really liked you having your grandmother. And what I liked about it is you could feel where God was reaching into her heart. And I'll tell you this, not every person's called to the mission field. But every person that's been touched by God ought to have compassion. Amen. How in the world can you go and see little children hungry? I've heard stories of people not called to the mission field, but you know how it is when you're traveling. Some of you ladies, you know, and you get that thing out and you're weighing that suitcase. I need this pair of shoes. I can't take this out of my suitcase. I got to have an extra change of clothes. I can't do without this sweater. You know, when you got the biggest bag, you know, it weighs 49 and a half pounds, just so you can get it through baggage claim, you know, and they'll let it ride. And then you got a bag so big, you have to beat it into that thing to make sure it'll fit in the overhead. I've heard tell of people going on the mission field and they get down there and they come back and they're wearing socks. Because they see so many people that don't have shoes. And they see so many people that don't have the things that they need to get their needs met. And I heard a story of a group come out of this church that went down there to the mission field somewhere. And they told the story about how they made spaghetti in a cooler. Now, I want y'all to get your checkbooks ready. Because in a little bit we're going to take a love offering. We take checks and we take cash. I've heard it said up to $10,000. We'll take $1 million. We're not going to be partial. You can't take it with you when you go. There ain't going to be no U-Hauls pulled behind no hearses. And I'll tell you something, folks. America's not what it used to be, but I'll promise you it's still the best thing going. If you look at what's going on in the world and you look at worldwide news, you'll realize that, hey, there is no other place like this place. Another thing we have is we have a kiosk out here. And I want to say this to the church, because this is a great church, great people. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your giving to the church. Thank you for your giving to the needs. And you know, nowadays, it's amazing to me, not many people write checks anymore. I can't hardly understand that. Not everybody even keeps a ledger anymore. I worry them to death at the bank. I said, look, I write everything down. They're aggravated with me at McDonald's. I said, I'm not leaving this window without my receipt. Now, I know some of you young people struggle with that. Y'all don't want a checkbook. You look on your phone and you say, Dad, you know, you can get the balance on your phone. I've been around a while. But if you're like that and you're one of those people, right outside this door on the left, we have a kiosk, and you can give right there just like you do at McDonald's, just like you do at Chick-fil-A. So get ready in a little bit. We're going to take up an offering because we certainly want to contribute to this ministry. And I did have a question. How much does it take to sponsor a food center? A week or a month? $250, $300 a month. And how many people does that feed? $45, $50 kids. How often? Every day. Every day. You know, when we leave here on Sunday afternoon and we go over to Texas Roadhouse, you know, we do the call-ahead seating, and I get my crowd in there, it costs $125, $150. And we do it how often? Y'all spoke to my heart this morning. If you got your Bible, let's go to Matthew chapter number 14. I'm not going to preach long. I'm going to just try to share with you some things that are on my heart this morning. You know, if you look at what's going on in the world, there's a lot going on. In the United States of America, there's a lot of political unrest. It's this, it's that, it's that group arguing with this group. Certainly, we see a nation that needs to be closer to God. We can talk about how God is not doing the things in America that he used to do. I'll tell you something, folks. There's more going on here than most places I've been able to find out. Then I begin to look at the world and I see what's going on in the world and I see the unrest between Russia and Ukraine, and it troubles me. I see what's going on in China having the largest navy in the world, and it troubles me. I look at what's going on with North Korea with a person. I don't even know how these people's mind actually works, but I see them firing off rockets with nuclear capabilities, and it troubles me. I look at what's going on in Iran, to where women who have a little bit of too much hair hanging out from under their scarf actually get beat to death by the ethics police, and then there are people jerking their headbands off and cutting their hair and throwing it on the ground, and because the men won't do anything about it, there is a women's militia to where they're standing up and saying, we're tired of being treated this way, we're not going to do it anymore. And I want to tell you something, it troubles me. It troubles me in America when we say that we want prayer taken out of our schools. It troubles me in America when we finally overturn Roe v. Wade and you can't even get every Christian in the country to stand up and say it's a good thing. I want to tell you something, folks. I've been around a long time and I've not changed. God's not changed. And Jesus is coming back just like the Word said. And we're going to press on till Jesus comes. I get to looking at the things going on in the world, the prayer being taken off the courthouse walls, and these are things that have come and passed, and I want to tell you, it troubles me. And I want to preach for just a few minutes about calming troubled waters. But I want to read this scripture, and I want you to see Jesus. And I want you to understand that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, is present, and he's with us. And he's still able to calm the troubled waters of our hearts. Matthew 14, verse 22, it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway or immediately Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So I just want to look at the scripture for just a minute to understand and break it down and see that they were actually sent on a journey. Jesus told them to get into the ship and go to the other side. It's just like you and I in our lives. God has a plan for us in our life. You know, you don't have to be in a mission field to be a representative of Jesus Christ. You do it every day. I told my wife yesterday, we were just talking, and we were talking about our relationship with God, and I was actually talking to one of our brethren here this week, and we were talking about the same thing. Living a Christian life is something that you do every day, and worshiping God is an everyday thing. You know, I don't live a certain kind of life because I'm a pastor. I wouldn't live any different if I were not a pastor than I do now. I live the life that I live because of my relationship with the Lord. You know, God knows our plan, and he knows what the plan is for our life. And, you know, when they got into that ship, God, in his foreknowledge, already knew that there would be a storm. But when he told them to get into it and go, he said, go to the other side. There's a destination. And in order for us to reach that destination, we got to follow God, walk with God, trust God, really right in the very midst of our storm. You see, when Jesus put them in the boat, he went up and, you know, he began, as the scripture said, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's Jesus Christ talking to God the Father on mine and your behalf. And as he was away from them for this period of time, and no doubt we've sometimes in our lives felt like that God might have sent us on a journey and he didn't go with us. You ever felt that way? I have. I've said, God, where are you? God, where are you? What are you doing? The journey sure is rough. It sure is difficult. And as this ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and they were afraid and they were scared. You know, the reality of it is the troubles of life and the pressures of life come to us and they are on us every day. What's amazing is how blessed we are, but it seems like if you look at our lives, the more blessed we are, sometimes the more difficult it is. You know, I've got cell phones. I left mine at home this morning. I come in here and I thought, what in the world am I going to do without it? Somebody tries to reach me or tell me something. Yesterday, Kinders couldn't work. We went down to Best Buy. Could somebody please help me? My phone's not working this morning. You know, we've got phones, we've got internet, I remember when fax machines were on a roll. I remember, now what I mean not on a roll, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about on a roll. It was paper that printed off and you had to tear it. But I can remember prior to that. You ever wonder how you made it? How did we make it? But the more we've got, the more we have, the more we understand, the cheaper that a big screen TV gets, let's just line it up, the more stressed we are. The stresses of our lives are at a level they've never, ever been before. And I want you to see when Jesus came, it was in the fourth watch of the night. That is between 3 and 6 a.m. You know, a lot of people stay up late these days and they go to bed late, but if you're up between 3 and 6 a.m., that's when it's getting bad. That's when you cannot sleep. That's when you cannot get rest. That's when you cannot get things calmed down enough, because normally by 12 or 1 or 2, even the one that can't sleep can doze off. But in the fourth watch of the night, they were wore out, they were afraid, and when they were already troubled from the storm, and they look out and they see Jesus walking on the water, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. You know, as I looked at that and I thought about it, even back in those days, you ever get to the point that you're so troubled that things get to be bigger than they are? Worse than they are. You can't get understanding. You can't find a place that you can calm down. And when you do experience something, you question whether or not it's real, because you're having trouble believing at that moment that it's actually going to get better than it is. But it said at once, or immediately, Jesus spoke to them and he said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." Now, I just want to speak to something right here. You know what I think is one of the most possibly important things that you could have to make it through life is peace. You know, peace comes because of a relationship with God. A lot of times it's not really directly in relation to how much that you have. Because if you study and understand the suicide rate is highest among those that have the most. Because having much does not necessarily mean that you have peace. In fact, if you really want to get right down to it and understand it, it seems like the more that people can make it on their own, the less they rely on God. The less they cry out to God for help, the less time they spend in the altar, the less time they thank God and praise God and worship God for who He is. You know, you can have everything in the world and not be of good cheer. You can have everything in the world and still be afraid. You know, in this story, it gets interesting here because Peter sees the Lord and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you and step out on the water. You know what person that is? That's the person that jumps up and said, God, I'll go, send me. And as soon as they get out there and they're out there for just a short period of time, they realize that they might have went a little too quick in themselves and they need to be more reliant upon God because they cannot at all do it by themselves. Peter steps out and he's walking to the Lord, but just like you and me, and folks, I've been here. I get to looking around. I've been looking at the waves, and I've been looking at the troubles, and I've been looking at the things going on in the world to the point that God basically sometimes just has to speak to me and said, you're spending too much time looking at all that and not spending enough time looking at me. You know, in my relationship with God, it's just me and God. I need to talk to God. I need to spend time with God. I need to be communing with God. Because I want to tell you something, church. If you look at the world and you pay too much attention to the world and too much concentration on what's going on outside those doors and too much concentration on going on over here in this country and that country and what's going on over here in this state and what law has been passed over here, you'll forget the fact that God is God, that He's still in control, that He has a plan, and God's plan is going to be fulfilled. You know, I was sitting the other day, and every now and then, you know, at election time, what they do is they bring everybody back. You know, let's come back, let's politic for this one, let's politic for that one. And I got to thinking about the names and those that were elected in years past. And I remember one time how I felt when a certain person was elected, and I was sitting in the lunchroom and I had my head down and I was visibly affected and I was saddened, and a man come in and he said, what's wrong with you? And I said, did you not hear who just got elected? It offended him. He said, well, I voted for him, to each his own. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And it's like God said, have you forgotten that I'm still in control? Have you forgotten that I'm God? Where's your joy? Where's your cheer? Why are you afraid? And now, folks, that's been 25 years ago or more. And we're still here and we're still seeing the hands of the hourglass as it begins to funnel down, get closer and closer to the return of the Lord and the time that we stand before God. And what God is speaking to us today is, be of good cheer, be not afraid. I'm here, I'm God. He commandeth, and even the winds and the sea obey Him. You know, have you ever had God had to just reach down and get you by the hand and pull you up as you begin to sink? And then He just speaks. He just speaks, and the winds and the sea are calm. You know, if God calmed the troubled waters and He saved Peter, and Peter's like a lot of us, full of gumption, but not maybe a full of a lot of wisdom. Folks, I need God in my life. I need God to calm the troubled waters of my life. You see, in our lives, and, you know, as we work to move forward, I mean, I'm at a certain point in my life, but I still need God. I do. Sometimes I begin to think about the journey of my children. I look at them in their different ages, and my wife and I talk about this a lot. We're praying for God's path because we understand that life is a journey. But we must remember that God has a plan for our lives. You know, it seems like when the journey is starting out that the journey seems so long and the road seems so long in front of us. But folks, as we go down this journey of life, we'll find lessons, we'll accept responsibilities, and we'll see that there are requirements. You know, the reality of it is, those things alone sometimes become troubled waters for us. The responsibilities of life, making decisions, where am I going to work, who am I going to spend my life with, Where am I going to go to church? Am I going to have children? How am I going to raise my children in this world? How am I going to live my life and have a testimony in the midst of this environment? God, why am I in this place? Why didn't you allow me to be in that place? Have you ever thought, why don't just all the Christians just get together and work together, and we won't have to work with those non-believers? We won't have to listen to that bad language. We won't have to be persecuted for our faith. We won't have to be ridiculed or rejected when we're not invited to the parties because you're just a party pooper if you really live for God. I'll tell you why it's not that way. Because you might be the only hands, the only feet, the only testimony for Jesus that some of them ever see. You see, the journey also has its challenges. Life has stresses. Life has pressures. Life has troubles. And life has trials. I don't like trials. And I could even say that for the Christian, sometimes life has tests. You know, if I were to ask you, or you were to ask me, are you a Christian? Yes. You going to heaven? Yes. You want to serve God? Are you committed to God? Well, of course, we'll want to say yes. But sometimes what God does in our life, just like he did the children of Israel when he brought them out and he led them into the land of promise, he left certain nations and peoples around them to test them or to prove them by, because if you're not careful, what happens in your life is you forget where your blessing and your benefit comes from. And if you're not growing, you're declining. So if we don't have tests, if we don't have times that we have to come to the altar of God. And by the way, the altar of Hiram First Baptist Church is always open. Folks, we believe in prayer. Amen. And I want to tell you something that the world does not understand. We believe that God hears us, and we believe that God answers prayer. So it's a journey with challenges. But I want to remind you that we serve a living God. What we fear most is under his feet. I had things on my heart this week, and I was talking to the Lord, and he started bringing things to my memory. You know, I spent too much time, just to be honest with you, paying attention to all the stuff that I mentioned. What's going on in Ukraine? What are the Russians going to do? What's going on in China? Are they really going to attack Taiwan? What's going on with that crazy man in North Korea? What's going on in Iran? Are they really going to all come at one time? And God reminded me, and he sent me over here to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24 and verse 6. Here's what it said. And it said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." And there's a line right here that I don't know how many times I've overlooked. It says this, "See that ye be not troubled." Amen. That's what Jesus said. Red writing, he said, "See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." You know, we can be troubled about the times. We can be troubled about the pestilences and the earthquakes. But it's almost like this. God has already saw the end. And then I begin to think about another verse over in John chapter number 14 and verse number 1. And you know, a lot of times when we read the scripture, we kind of have a, and it's kind of like when we quote it, we leave part of it out. You know, it says, you know, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." But back up to the first verse. Jesus said, starting with this, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For then in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Because I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Now, folks, that's promising for me about the end of life, about eternity. But I want to tell you something. God knows what's going to happen in the end. And God's going to take care of His children. And yes, one day we are going to go home and be with Him. But it's like I've said before, what are you going to do in the meantime? Sometimes what we have to do is take and realize that I am not God, and we put things in the hands of God and realize that even the winds and the seas obey Him, and He is still in control. You go down to the 27th verse in the 14th chapter of John. Jesus said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And here it is again. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, for you and I, there are things that we can't control. And, you know, that's just sometimes, just to be honest, that's what we fear the most. But nothing that's going on in the world is anything but a grain of sand to God. You see, I believe when the Lord returns, and He will, He's not going to come in carpenter sandals. He's not going to come in a manger. He's going to come in power. Eyes as a flame of fire, and a voice as the sound of many waters. And He will speak, and all the armies of the world will fall down flat before Him. You know, in the book of Genesis, it said He made the stars also. I've heard people try to take the galaxies and push away the possibility of there being a God. I don't know how in the world you can look up at the stars at night and not see God. It's unfathomable for me. You see, if we remember that He's God and He spoke to us and He's telling us not to be troubled, because He's trying to get us to understand that He's God, He's still in control, and He's got the whole world in His hands. What does it say over in Isaiah? I think it's chapter number 66. It says, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me?" Now, all this being true, and I believe it's true, and I believe it that my God is real, we must keep our eyes on the Lord. Folks, don't get distracted by the winds. Don't get distracted by all the storms that are going around you in life. Sometimes they come. It could be the possibility of, it could be a doctor's visit, it could be trouble, it could be the loss of a job, it could be a situation that you're dealing with. You must keep your eyes on Jesus. God still has the ability to save souls. And I want to ask them to come, and they're going to sing a song. I told you it would be short today, but I've delivered to you what God has put on my heart. Is God wants to calm the troubled waters of your life. We came in a little bit ago, and there was a song playing, and it just began to speak to my heart. I'll tell you this quick story before she sings. I had a testimony shared with me yesterday of a young lady that's accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. She said, "God spoke to me when I opened His Word." She said, "If you had invited me to come to church, I wouldn't have come. If you'd have told me there was a God, I wouldn't have come." She said, "But I opened the Bible and I just started reading it and it became alive." And she said, "By reading the pages, I found that there really was a God." And she referred to Him as Lord. She said, "If somebody told me about the Lord, I wouldn't have believed it. But when I read it, I saw Him." Tears run down her face. And she said, "I had to accept Him as my Lord." If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to accept Him as your Lord. But if you're here and you're like Peter, and I want to tell you something, folks, there's not a family in this church that hadn't had the winds. I was talking to one of our deacons this week, and we were talking about how many families in our church are struggling. How many have sickness? How many times you come to church on Sunday morning not even knowing where your children are? You got storms and you got winds and you got troubles, but God's still God. And I can find it in His book over and over again where He says, be not troubled. Don't be afraid. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth unto you, but I give. Jesus said, I'm giving you mine. That's why it says over there in the book of Philippians, it says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And it goes on to say, to tell us to receive the peace of God. It says, the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, how can that be? You say, I'm just too troubled. You need God's peace. You need what He has to come to you. And as Miss Alicia sings, I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, the altars of this church are open right now for people to pray, for God to calm your troubles, and if you don't know Jesus, for you to meet Him. Would you please come?